Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Affair with Ikara Freeman. If you play this podcast, your life will be better.
Young Mr. Lemon here is an actual Territorian. They do exist.
Yes, I grew up in the Northern Territory.
Yes.
And it's everything they say about it is true.
Yeah.
Whatever that
I'm waiting
is.
For you to go produce a big say, that's not a knife, that's a knife.
No, I hate that. All right, I have a big issue with Crocodile Dundee and the way Australians were portrayed in that.
Go for it. We have the time.
I won't go off on a rant, but let's just say that we're not all like him.
Okay.
And that's even like in the small bushland towns that I grew up in, no one there is like that. Okay, maybe there is a small...
There's a small resemblance. But, you know, generally, Territorians don't have that sort of...
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at Steve Irwin, he wasn't like Crocodile Dundee.
Steve Irwin is a Queenslander.
Yeah, but still, he is in like the Northern Queensland, which is a lot like Northern Territory.
Okay, that's true. Now, when you first got the nod to sort of do the whole month-long thing of The Affair, what really went through your mind? Were you terrified? Or
I was actually. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to show up and everyone's going to know I'm a fraud and I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to get on air and drop the F word or something and then never be asked back again. I don't know.
And then what did you discover that basically your co-presenter was basically, the lead presenter was basically going a million miles a minute and it's basically catch-up time?
I was like, that's fine with me. I'm quite happy to just stand back and be the one that puts in the cynical word every once in a while.
Well, one of the things that sort of came up, now the squeeze, we got one down, but there are more down the
There are down more the coming, because at the particular time when it was being done, it just got slammed with a whole bunch of student fees and, you know, hiring equipment, though it's free through university, buying props is expensive and it's something that I have to pay for out of pocket. And so that's been temporarily put on hold. And now that I've stopped presenting for the month, I'm going to attempt to do sort of more YouTube-esque videos.
Good.
And there is one in particular that was the Homoerotica Yay that I wrote a script for, which I still want to get done.
Yeah.
So even though that's not, you know, in time with the show, it's...
Oh, it works. It works in tandem.
It's still a trope.
Yes, it's still a trope.
And then there'll be non-trope related things. Like, yes. I really want to do little fun competition things stemming from The Amazing Race, such as like a competition of eating them. Because the world record for the most Ferrero Rocher eaten in a minute is 8.
Okay, now for starters, I'm glad that you're saying that you're putting your money out down here, because I can tell you The Affair Property Limited is not going to buy a carton full of Ferrero Rocher.
Oh, no, I can do that. That's fine. I've done it before because I was dating this guy who taught me about the Ferrero Rocher competition, because he used to do it with his housemates. And
you were dating? Okay. Now, yeah. I hope it was a platonic one, because just, you know what that does to the insides.
What are you talking about?
Let's just say I hope that you were... this is a podcast, so I can't say it. Let's just say I hope you were the you were the receiver as opposed to the catcher in that one.
Isn't that the same thing, receiver and catcher?
Yes. Yeah. Right.
I was the man in that relationship.
Oi! I'm not. We're not ascribing. Okay. Pass. Okay. I'm saying
I was the alpha.
I'm hoping. Okay, you're the active. You're the active one. Let's use active and passive. Okay.
And what is that in relation to?
Okay, top or bottom, frankly, as well.
I know, but what does that have to do with Ferrero Rocher?
Well, I'm just saying, if I was the active one, I would not want to be going into the passive one after he's done a lot of Ferrero Rocher.
of course you would go there. No, no, nothing like that.
I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. Right. I'm just putting it out. Now, okay, now.
Okay.
During the affair, we did challenge you to a couple of things. Okay.
Yes.
Now, which one was the worst challenge that I gave you?
Both of them were pretty much the same. Actually, I think designing women was probably the least interesting.
Okay.
Even though I didn't find Myra Breckinridge an interesting movie, it was interesting to research.
Yeah.
And just to find out the story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed that one, and then I could, you know, look up things. But with Designing Women, it's just like, it's what you see. It's just
it was sitcom. Very 80s. We will actually jump into Design Women proper. But now I have to admit, I did spring on young Mr. Lemon here the whole last month's show, which is basically because the affair is a new show. What I was going to do is at the end of every month, we sort of have a big end of month party thing.
Yeah, I wasn't told about that.
You were told about that, and it basically goes batshit. Basically, I find how crazy things can go on mm-hmm. air and how much we can muck around with it. So I basically said, oh, yes, you know, our trope is going to be actually fourth wall. And then I wrote something, no, it's actually going to be mind screw.
That was so confusing. And in my defense, I didn't properly research what the hell was going on. I'm just like, yeah, it's fine. I'll just get there and I'll wing it. And I don't know what's going on. So I was like, quick, deflect everything you're saying. Tell a funny anecdote about how you found out you're gay.
But that was really weird how you actually, that thing actually worked out perfectly.
Yes.
I have to say. And I'm like, hold on. And actually off mic, I was just like, are you serious? Really? That's what? And you nodded your head. And I could not actually believe that that's what you were saying.
Yeah. For the people that didn't hear the show, basically.
By the way, naughty people, listen to this in tandem.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Yeah. What are you doing? The story was that Hikari was saying how he realized that he was gay when he was watching He-Man.
Yeah.
And I said, I think the reason why I became gay was because my mother had put a Manpower poster on the back of the toilet door, which basically had a really muscular man in some jeans that were unbuttoned that was showing off his pubic hair, and he was all like flexing and stuff and all sweaty and grossed up and in an attractive way. And every time I'd have to sit down to take a dump, I would have to stare at this thing. So over the years, it just sort of ingrained in my mind.
But is that why you have like this sort of very coprophiliac references that you make all the time?
What do you mean?
Coprophiliac. When you say poop and duty and
no,
shit.
No, I'm just like poo obsessed anyway. Well, not poo obsessed. I'm like I stare at it or anything. I just like to talk about bums and the things that happen with bums.
Can I say honestly, one of the weird things is that everyone talks about like how they notice bums, and yeah. I don't.
Notice bums. I notice the smell that comes out of bums.
Well, obviously you notice the smell that comes out of it. By the way, we have now
we've gone off the ledge.
We've gone off the ledge. Okay, now, but that is actually bringing it back into things. Now Myra Breckinridge.
Yes.
We're going to do it in this order. Now, one of the biggest surprises about Myra Breckinridge is that we sort of had as a nice little huge challenge is there's a very noticeable scene, and I think we actually wound up talking about that.
Yes,
in very strong detail off mic before we actually talked about on mic.
Yes, and if you go back and listen to the podcast of that show, take a shot every time Hikaru says tentacle. Because you repeat it like 6 or 7 times in a row. So you're going to get hammered straight away.
I mean, it was seriously, I was just like thinking like, okay, the reason why I brought this up, and I really went through my mind, it's like, why is Myra Breckinridge sticking in my head? Oh, that whole sodomizing scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh. I think I'm on air, and I was about ready to say it. I was saying, oh, fuck, really? I have to say.
Naughty word.
Naughty word, I know. So I'm just sort of wondering, like, okay, how are we going to explain this very iconic scene? And you described it perfectly. Now, it is sodomizing. It's Raquel
yes.
Welch sodomizing this guy, and who was basically a complete homophobe.
Yes, he
and
was.
And she's doing it intentionally.
She was teaching him a lesson because he hates fags.
Yes.
And she's like, well, I was a man, and I don't have a penis anymore, but I'm going to strap on my tentacle and then ride you like a cowboy.
And she rides him full
she
on.
She takes away his manhood, and I love the part at the very end after it's done. She's like, aren't you going to thank me? And he's like, thank you, ma'am. And he like walks out. I'm like, that was kind of cool.
And you actually never see Rusty for the rest of the, after that.
Yeah, he's gone. Actually, no, he shows up one more time because he winds up in Mae West's bed.
Yeah.
And it's like, she calls Myra and she's like, thank you for sending Rusty
over. Yes, actually, she sends him right over. He actually does that.
Yeah.
Right after that. So when you think about it, what's the director kind of making his thing, like saying like, okay, now Rusty's now turned into this sort of weird.
I think he's turned into an submissive object now.
Yeah, he's a submissive object. It was sort of, it's actually kind of real. That bit I think about my record is kind of forward.
Look, I will admit there is a lot of potential with that script. Yeah. It's just the movie turned out to be complete crap. And
confusing.
Yeah, that was the problem. It's like, you don't know what the hell's going on. You don't know the characters' motivations. You don't know why they're there or why they're doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think if you took out all the stupid archive footage and you wrote a semi-legible script, you would actually be able to follow a proper narrative. And I mean, the story is there. It's just, you need to dig for it and you need to go online and find out what the hell's going on. It's not like you just rewatch the movie and suddenly understand. You're just like, I still don't get why she's doing this.
Mind you, though, you could probably write a thesis off of Myra Breckenridge.
You could. Like, it's good material. It's just they screwed it up.
Well, I mean, I think the director really just had too much of an interest in that whole entire idea of actually interspicing old Hollywood with new Hollywood and everything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Did he plan that beforehand or not? Because
we have to go back in time and we have to remember that this is 1970. Mm. So pretty much half of everyone is on acid. And even if they aren't on acid, that's just what's...
It could be a decent idea. He just overused it too much. Because I get the whole thing about Myron, before he gets a sex change, is a film critic and he's obsessed with old Hollywood, which is why he decides to turn into Myra and be the sort of Hollywood glam woman.
Yeah.
And sort of juxtaposing that with, or complimenting, I should say, with these archive footage of other old Hollywood films. And that's a decent idea. It's just that he uses it
too much. Yeah, there's also this whole thing with Myron. I don't know. Rex Reed has never come out. I think he's still alive. Rex Reed has never come out. And I'm not saying he is, but one of the things that's really interesting about Rex Reed is that he is a slightly fey persona.
Yes.
And so it's sort of, you can read this whole like internalized homophobia thing into our, because he goes out of his way. Aren't you a fag and all that sort of stuff? Yeah. No. Deep thoughts.
I don't know what to add to that. But all I can say is that I did not approve of the way they projected homosexuality in that film. Because
really?
If you really think about it, I mean, there's only, there's three gay characters.
Yeah.
There's Myron before he gets the sex change. Yeah. There's Myra, who's the transsexual that he becomes. And then there's that random black guy who shows up at the start and is the most stereotypical flamboyant thing.
Yes,
and I know it's a satire and all that sort of stuff, but it was just over the top.
It was really over the
and
top.
And it wasn't convincing either. It's like, no one does that.
Well, he does go on this very sort of...
He disappears.
He like, disappears, but sort of, one of the really eerie things is I have to be very careful because I can somewhat veer into that myself because I am... If you are a little bit of an airhead, and I freely admit that I am an airhead...
What, isn't like flamboyant?
No. Airhead is just kind of like you go on tangents like that.
Oh, yeah,
so that's what... He veers that way, and I have to admit that I have gone on tangents like that, but it's the whole clinging. He's got all this jewelry and all that going on. And it's very interesting, particularly in the recent events. Now, designing women.
Oh, hang on. I'm not finished yet.
Oh, you're not
Let
finished
me just
yet.
Add.
Okay.
So there's there's the black guy that's stereotypical and actually, he's not stereotypical. He's like a weird stereotype. It's like a warped stereotype.
Yeah.
And then so there's that who's sort of mispresenting homosexuality. And then there's, of course, Myra, who sort of makes
Myra's
a bad...
Myra's trans.
She makes a... I mean, if you really think about it, she's the character that comes in and is aggressive, manipulative, and then paints this picture of, you know, homosexuality is... Like, homosexuals are crazy.
Yeah.
Or that sort of thing. Because, like, in the end, all she does is winds up sodomizing someone and raping him, and then...
Having lesbian sex with Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, trying to seduce Farrah Fawcett after she's already a woman. So it was... I don't know. I mean...
She kind of insults trans as the same way.
Yeah.
She insults transsexuals, bisexuals, and homosexuals all in one fair go, when you think about it.
Yeah, that's the way I think about it. But, I mean,
economy
it's the 70s, so, you know, I guess it's something.
Oh, no. That brings on the whole argument is, like, is actually the... 1970 could be argued as the end of the 1960s as opposed to the beginning of the 1970s.
True.
Yeah. which, by the way, Bucko, makes you an 80s baby.
It does. I appreciate that.
The Affair with Hikara Freeman. This is a podcast saying, play me one more time, please.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.